This week's episode of Podfathers is brought to you by our good friends at Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Because if you listen to the Podfathers for a while, you know that not everybody is gifted the gift of being able to cook. It took me a long time. When I was a single dad, the only thing I would really cook was fucking chili and spaghetti. I wish Blue Apron was around then because they give you easy recipes to follow. You're going to be eating good. You're not just going to be eating sugary, ragu-style spaghetti every fucking night of the week. Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 types of local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. And as a result, everything tastes delicious because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of ingredients that each recipe requires, so you're not wasting stuff. You're not throwing a bunch of shit into the garbage can where your house smells like Badissi. If you don't know what Badissi is, that's booty, dick, and asshole. You don't want that. This week, they're going to have pesto chicken with summer vegetables, sautéed shrimp with green beans, whole grain pasta, summer vegetables with miso, salmon butter, lo mein noodles, cucumbers, and charmed tomatoes, meatball pizza, and all kinds of other good stuff. If you want to get on that, check out this week's menu for free. You'll get three meals with free shipping. Go to blueapron.com/podfathers. You'll love how good it feels. You'll love how good it tastes. You'll love to be able to create incredibly home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. blueapron.com/podfathers. Blue Apron. It's just a better way to cook. Let's go.
You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man that doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
Well, welcome back to another edition of Podfathers. Young Clancy is out. I am here with my main man, the big fella, Young Clemenem. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Chapsy. Our boy KFC, he left us to interview the handsome Jamie Lannister. But I'm here with a man who is more handsome. That's right, more handsome than Jamie Lannister, the Uncle Chaps. From
Shout
Big
out
Texas.
To me for having both of my hands still, unlike Jamie Lannister, who has that. And I get pissed every time they show Jamie's gold hand on the episodes. Why did he make it a fist? If you're going to have like a solid steel hand, make it a fist, dude. You can punch the shit out of us. Now you're going to just aggressively poke somebody in the eyes. Give yourself a fist.
That's like we were talking about last week, the cane, like chops he used to do with the, like that's the only thing you could do with that hand. But a fist, like if Jamie Lannister is a fucking accountant, the hand makes sense. You make it like so you could hold a pen. But yeah, you got to go fist for a fucking soldier. Dude's a soldier. He's like Kellen Winslow Jr.
His hand basically looks like Chubbs from from Happy Gilmore. The gold version of that.
Crocodile took my damn hand off.
Yeah, but this time it was just got that fucker chopped off because I was being bad.
or like, yo, you're a fucking Lannister. You have all this gold. Like, yo, give me the fist. Give me the fucking thing. Give me the peace sign. Give me the middle finger. Like, you have to have, like, different hands for different situations, I feel.
Cool other than, like, I mean, the Nazi theme's been pretty heavy this last week. You don't want to have Jamie Lannister with the Sig Heil hand. You don't want that shit.
Problematic.
Very problematic.
Macklemore's getting killed for a haircut he had a year ago. Like, if you
know what else? You know what else is problematic, Clem? The fact that people, assholes I'm going to call them, are actively trying to ruin one of the only seven happy Sunday nights that parents will have together for the whole year.
Chaps, you said it. Like, the thing is, you know, things that happen during the work week, it's like it's during the work week. So you're so tired from work. You just come home. You're just trying. Like, I fell asleep at 9 o'clock last night, and I was in bed at 8:30. To have something on Sundays where it's the Lord's Day. It's not for the
shout
boys or the girls.
Lord.
It's for everybody. Shout out to the Lord. And then Game of Thrones is like that little cherry on top, or I don't really eat cherries on ice cream, not surprisingly. You know, a little whipped cream on top, and they fucking ruin it. I have people tweeting me spoilers. You know, there's shit, you know, Twitter. You said you can't get off of Twitter, yet if you go on Twitter, there's like a 10% chance at any moment you're going to have a spoiler just right in your eyeball.
It's terrible, man, because once you're married and you've been married for a while, like my wife and I have been married for almost 8 years, there's very few shows that you really both equally love. There are shows that she likes that I can tolerate, like the English Baking Show. Not a huge fan of it, But I can watch it. Like, I'll have it on. I just fuck around on Twitter. We sit there together and watch it. Jeopardy, we both like it together. A majority of shows, either I like it more than she does or she likes it more than I do. Game of Thrones is not that way. Game of Thrones is a 7-week long, basically TV playoff series.
Yeah, it's the NBA Finals, just if it was on every Sunday night at 7, and you know you're going 7 or 9, and you know you're going 7 games or 10 games.
And reading the books is like the regular season. Like, sure, like a lot of people do it, but I'm a playoff guy. I'm not trying to read the fucking books. I just want to hop in on the playoffs, watch it, and be like, damn. That Jon Snow really did deserve the MVP. He's playing out of his mind.
You said it, dude. Like, I think that's the kind of the way a lot of marriages or, you know, relationships go. It's like my wife, I go in the room, my wife's watching Teen Mom, and I just like do the fucking Grandpa Simpson, like turn around and walk right back out and go watch like the Mets lose a million games or something like that. But Thrones is one of those things that, like, not only are you in it together, like you can get into like a reality show. Like, I'm into The Challenge with my wife, so we get into that together and we have fun with it. But like, Thrones is like you're in it together. Like, you're part of the fuck. Like, we might as well just bring swords to the fucking couch with us because we are riding or dying with our people, right? So to have that kind of experience kind of just ripped from you, and kind of like we said with the spoilers, so I will admit, 2 weeks ago, I watched Thrones without my wife. I watched it. She was gone. I watched it. Didn't tell her.
Clem, you have been getting in trouble, dude.
Let me tell you, I'm on a bad path right now, Chapsy. I'm scared about what's going on.
That.
So, you know, I already did the thing where I admitted to spilling breast milk. I also, on this podcast, admitted to, I was going to go through that thing where I was going to correct my wife every time she didn't say please or thank you, just as a joke, a prank. Which,
that's the worst.
And now I admitted to her yesterday, face-to-face, so she won't hear about this on the podcast, that I watched the episode 2 weeks ago, and I watched this week's episode, which will be last night.
You watched the spoiler?
I had to watch the spoiler, Chapsy.
Clem! Oh my God. I am so disappointed in you.
Chapsy, first of all, admitting this, I'm in a bad place with my wife right now. I don't know if I'm acting out. I think I might be acting out, like trying to get more attention or something.
I almost want to hang up. I am very disappointed.
Listen, you throw fucking Game of Thrones out there at me, I'm going to watch it. As I said a million times, as you can tell.
You got to have more discipline, Clem.
Chaps, look at my body. Does this look like the body of a disciplined man? I don't have discipline. I don't have willpower. Yeah. I see, I consume, I move on to the next thing. This is the thing. When you're a parent, especially, and I'm going to throw the kid thing out there first, like any good parent would, you blame it on your kids and you go from there. It's like that Moxie games where they're juggling and people are throwing dodgeballs at them, except you're throwing chainsaws in the air too. I have enough shit to worry about. I can't worry about being on my couch from 9 to 10 on Sunday night, uninterrupted, which my goddamn kid has been waking up every night at like 8:57 screaming her guts out. So it's either we can't hear Thrones or we have to have a 2-year-old watching people get murdered and incest and shit. I just sometimes just need to just get that out of my mind. I wish I could watch it with all you guys at the same time. I don't even go on Twitter, so I don't see the point why everyone's giving me so much shit right now.
Because you should have done it together. There's certain things that are about togetherness. There's not very many moments, and I try to stay off Twitter during Thrones too. So like how I am, most people probably hate to watch Thrones with me because I'm sitting there on the mega chase that we are still fucking loving. We love the mega chase.
Whole family's so on the mega chase together, all 10 of you.
Oh, hell no. We send those little fuckers upstairs. They're upstairs. So we're in the mega chase. I'm making little comments to myself, and occasionally my wife was like, okay, you could tweet that one. And I'm like, yeah. Like, that's how I know, like, it's a decent joke if my wife's like, that was actually pretty funny. But it's a togetherness thing. I think, like, in this political climate, we have got to be able to have certain things that we can all enjoy together and bind together as a country. And I feel like that is Game of Thrones.
I feel you. And, you know, looking back now, that was where I fucked up. So I heard about the leak at 1:30 in the morning or 12:30 in the morning. Regardless, it was in the morning. She was sleeping. And I was like, you know what? I just got to do it now, because I saw people tweeting that spoilers were all over Twitter. And I was like, well, I'm not going to be able to avoid Twitter in the next 8 hours. Like, the first thing I do when I wake up is check Twitter. So I just ripped it. And I was like, I'm not going to tell her. You know why I didn't tell her? This is how you can convince yourself of anything when you're a fucking junkie like I am with Thrones. I was like, she doesn't listen to my Thrones podcast, so she doesn't get to find out. Like, I'm some fucking important person that has to be listened to or something. And then when I told her that, she goes, I'm just upset you watched it without me. So in the end, you're right, Chapsy. I'm wrong. I should have watched it with her, but I don't take back. Like I said, if the Jaguars were playing at 10 a.m. or they're playing in London and they tape delayed the game, you'd want to watch that fucking game as soon as it happened in London, not wait till 1 o'clock, right?
Yeah, because 95% of the country doesn't give a fuck about even more than that about the Jaguars. It's not an event. They're going to lose, all right? Spoiler alert, they're going to lose. But that's why I focus on fantasy football, and you can too, with Yahoo Fantasy Football. We're still getting down with Yahoo Fantasy Football, and you can too by going to barstoolsports.com/YahooPodFathers. It's going to be fun, man. It's free to play. The Yahoo Fantasy app has been the best-rated mobile app for 3 years in a row. It's much better than all the other ones. The other ones are trash comparatively. You don't have to go through 8 different options to find the running backs. You can just click running backs, and lo and behold, the fucking running backs are there. There's in-depth player matchup analysis. They actually update pretty quickly when the guy is going to be out, which is such a pain in the ass whenever you're not following it religiously like some people do, where you look at 12:05 Central Time or 1:05 Eastern Time, and you see that, oh, this dude has actually had a hamstring since Thursday, and he's not going to play together, and you put him in your running back spot, so you're fucked. You could smack talk with your teammates. They have a little messenger board, all that shit. Go to barstoolsports.com/YahooPodFathers and play with us. How many leagues are you going to be in? How many leagues are you going to be in this year?
It looks like 3 right now. I think 3 is where I cap out, because then you start really competing with, you're rooting for a guy and against a guy every single week. And I'm a passionate man with that too. Like, I'd watch the entire fantasy football season if I could. Like, I just need that shit. I've been grinding right now, going on listening to podcasts, doing my rankings. I am in the fantasy football grind right now, Chapsy.
Now let me ask you a question. Do you pick players, other players who are in the NFC East?
Yes, and this is why. Because I used not to do that, and then I would get my doors blown off, and I get mocked for losing. So then I'd rather get mocked for taking a guy that the Giants play against twice a year, and then, like, but at least have a chance to win. You know what I mean?
What is your reaction? Say you are you're picking Ezekiel Elliott.
He's my keeper. He's one of my keepers. I have him.
So Ezekiel Elliott's going up against your beloved Giants, and he throws out 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 60 yards receiving. How are you acting during that game?
And it's like we're in a competitive season and the whole nine.
Is it in the back of your mind, like, keep eating, Zeke? Or
no, it's like, you know what? It's not a good thing, but at least I get to profit a little. It's like almost, I don't bet against my team, but if I did, it would be like betting against your team. Like, well, at least I'm going to make a couple bucks off of this. Like, this happened to me last year. I lost my fantasy. No one likes hearing about fantasy teams and who you have, but I lost my fantasy matchup in the playoffs by 0.4. And it was when Zeke played the Giants and he had like 100 yards and no touchdowns. But it was a big win for the G-men, and it helped him with the playoffs. And at the end of the day, I was happy. So that's my way of kind of just not giving you a real answer. But I mean,
Now, keeping it Podfathers, does your wife play?
So that is the thing. For all the listeners out there who are fantasy football fans that have significant others that don't play, I cannot recommend getting your girl or guy, whatever it may be, into a fantasy league with you. Go. What's the website?
Barstoolsports.com/YahooPodFathers.
Go to that site. Sign up. So what we do is we did I organized co-ed league, where it was like me and like 5 of my friends and then their 5 like wives or whatever, and it's just so much fun, because you know what, girls, when girls want to like talk shit, they can talk shit great, you know, like it's, I'm sure it's all the stuff they want to say to their best friends but they choose not to. They can, you can say it as long as you say like your running back sucks instead of you suck as a person and I hate your guts. It's like the closer your wife is with her friends, the more shit they want to talk to them. So that that side of the co-ed league is one of the best things I've ever done. My wife loves it. Mrs. Chapsia, she's a fantasy player, right?
She did before, and she didn't honor the no AFC South code. And she had Andrew Luck during Andrew Luck's like fantasy monster year, where he was like the number three overall player as a quarterback, which was insane. And they were playing the Jaguars, like the Colts were playing the Jaguars, and they were kicking our dicks in. It was like 52-7 or some shit. And they were up, and Luck just kept chunking the ball down the field. I'm talking about he had like 30-yard touchdown, 60-yard touchdown, 80-yard touchdown on like back-to-back drives. And she was like, yes, go, baby, go. And I was like, what the fuck is happening in my house? Like, this can't be. We do not cheer for Andrew Luck in this fucking house.
I feel like that's early Chaps, too. Like, you could, if she was on Twitter, you could have, like, tried to roast her with a fake account. Like, that's what you have to do to the girl right there is give a little Chaps, many-faced gods.
She's a shit talker, though. I'm not much of a fantasy football shit talker. I'm more of a act like you've been there before type of guy. Like, I expect to win fantasy football. If I am winning, I'm not going to say much. If I'm losing, I'm not going to say much. If my wife beats you in fantasy football, you're going to know about it for the next, like, 10 years.
Yeah, my wife is good, but she doesn't do it often. She'll just hit you with that one sly remark. And you're like, you bitch, that fucking cut deep. Like, she uses a dagger to, like, kill me. She doesn't use a gun. She uses, like, a dagger, and she just slides it in
slowly. You said that, though?
And removes.
You said that? You said bitch, though?
No. B-word.
I looked straight in her opticals, and I said, bitch.
Nobody says bitch better than my boy Chapsy. So, you know what? Honestly, at the rate I'm going right now, I'm going to call my wife a bitch to her face, like, first week of fantasy football season, because I am in a destructive path, and I have to really, like, tone it down.
If you're going to do it, just do it a week where I'm in New York so you have somewhere to stay.
Exactly. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I think that's, like, I don't want to say a dad hack, but I do think, and this is a sincere, this isn't like pitching, you know, Yahoo down your throats or anything, but I do think that, like, getting a co-ed league, because my wife hated football before fantasy, hated it. Every time it was on, it was like an argument. And it, like you said, you just need that time where you could just sit together. She, the first year of fantasy, she like wanted to fight it. By the second year, like, you get hooked to it no matter what. Like, you're going to care about the right to talk shit to your closest family and friends. You know what I mean? I think that's the way it always works.
You definitely are.
And the message board. That's the thing, Chapsy. I'm pretty quiet. I have a little Barry Sanders to me when I play fantasy. But if you come at me, I'm going back with knuckles out on the message board. I'll write like a 30-paragraph thing just ripping you apart. I think that was like prepared me for Barstool, was just me talking shit to all my friends on the message board. That was like my writing samples before I joined the stool.
Well, it's good, man. Like, I think sometimes it could be cathartic, but I take shit too seriously. I probably wouldn't now just because of the nature of our job, but used to, if somebody was talking shit, then I would just become obsessed with winning, like just big time winning. I think our spouses do that whenever it comes to birthday parties too. Would you agree?
Yeah. And like, I feel like whenever they go to someone else's birthday party, like another kid's, they're like scouting out. They're looking for the weaknesses in it and this and that. What could have went wrong, even though it didn't. And then they bring it to our party and you're just like, now we have to perform fucking the Joneses down the road. And I don't know about your kids, but we're always operating on a disadvantage because we're in November, baby, and November sucks in New York. It's like not quite freezing cold where you know it's going to be cold, but it sure as hell ain't warm.
We had a question from our guy, Eric, who's a listener, and he said, how do I not screw up my daughter's first birthday party? My wife is planning like a crazy person, on edge all day. She wants to make it absolutely perfect. How do I not fuck up everything? Help me, please. So I think for this stuff, I don't remember it being this way whenever I was little. I feel like Facebook is to blame for a lot of the crazy parties. Facebook and Pinterest.
I was
going to
say Pinterest was a big
because
part
you see all these crazy ideas. Like, I see people on like my wife's Facebook with the craziest parties. We're talking cookies that look like legit she sells. Like, how do you even bake that? Like, how did you do that? How did you take and make a real life Chewbacca out of licorice. How did you do that?
Unless Blue Apron's giving it to me, I have no idea. Blue Apron, get into the Chewbacca licorice game. That's what I think should happen.
And the kids, especially that one-year-old doesn't give the first fucking shit about the birthday party.
No, like, I feel like you have to be on your game for, like, 8 to 12 is when kids are going to really remember it, really care about it.
Oh, no. See, I think you go lower than that.
6?
I say that the prime birthday party time is 4 to 7.
4 to 7, really?
Maybe a little bit, 4 to 10.
Because I feel like you got to have those, like, elementary school years where you're walking in like, yo, did you go to that Chaps party? Oh, yeah, that shit was the hot. Like, that was A-list shit. Like, now these kids probably have, like, did you see the Instagram, hashtag they had? That shit was popping. Yeah. I saw all the pictures from it. That's a fair point. And then also you have to then bake to get, like, do you have cupcakes in school and shit like that?
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. You have multiple fucking parties now. You got your daycare, you got your one, and then you got to have your weekend party. If we didn't come correct with McCartney's party this year, she turns 5, there would be fucking hell to pay. This little bitch has been talking about it since November, and her birthday's October 1st. Like, she's ready. And she wanted to go to the Splash Pad for her birthday party. Well, the Splash Pad's all booked. My wife called May to try to book it for the last weekend of September. It's all booked up basically for the whole month of September. So we've been trying to talk to McCartney about where she wants to have her birthday party. And if it goes sour, good fucking luck, man. She is not going to put up with that.
I feel like telling McCartney that the Splash Pad is booked for her birthday party, it doesn't register in her mind. She's like, no, it's not. It's my party is going to be there.
She basically turns into the bitch on Willy Wonka who's like...
I want it now,
Daddy.
I want
to go to Goose now, Daddy. Daddy boy, get me the Splash Pad.
Sienna's just getting into her birthday now. Third birthday's in November, and that's all she's been talking about, like a goddamn idiot. And she's saying, I want this on my birthday, and now we're watching TV shows that have commercials, which is a whole new ball game for us now. And then they come on, I want that. I want that on my birthday. I want that on my birthday. And you can't weaponize a birthday as much as you can Santa Claus. Like, Santa doesn't like that, but you could just be like, you're not getting this on your birthday. But I need to weaponize things my kids like to really enjoy them. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. You have to weaponize it, because if you don't take it for advantage, then you're just shelling out all kinds of money for no benefit for you. Because deep down inside, we're still selfish creatures. I mean, even as a parent, you want to do things that benefit you.
Yep. So back to the what was the guy's name on the email? Ben?
Eric.
Eric. First off, you just got it. The first birthday is just one of those things. I think we can all agree. You just got to, whatever your wife wants you to do, you got to do, because the first birthday is going to be so much bigger. It's going to be the same old shit that everyone else does. It's not going to be anything crazier. But in her mind, she just has to nail it. She probably still has, like, this is her baby. It's the first year. If it's your first kid, too, your first year as a parent, it's almost about you turning 1 year old with the kid as it is the kid turning one. So they're not going to remember shit.
Definitely is elements of that where she is going to try to prove that she can do this, that she belongs in the game. It's basically like being a rookie quarterback. Like, you're going to take shots that you know you probably shouldn't. You're going to have, you'd be a little bit too aggressive. That little window in the cover two seemed really big. But in reality, the game moves a lot faster whenever it's a real-life birthday party that you're throwing.
Yeah, she's like, well, Andrew Luck, RG3, and Russell Wilson all made the playoffs in the rookie year. It's like, yeah, that was a fucking crazy year, man. That doesn't happen all the time, wifey.
Yeah.
You have to let them know that.
If the carrots spill on the floor, the fucking carrots are on the floor.
Yeah, so I...
People just eat carrots because they're bored anyway.
Exactly. And they're going to, like you said, with Pinterest, they try to, like, hand make every little thing at that party. Like, I feel bad for Party City. Just go there. If it was up to dads, we go to Party City, $100, bring it back, and we're done. We get a Costco cake and we call it a fucking day. But you're going to have to just grin and bear it. And you hope that party one goes well, but it's so much work and she's so, like, shot by the end of it that she's like, we're never doing that again. That's kind of what you have to hope for.
We had a couple more mailbags, right?
Yep, we had a couple.
Are those mailbags going to be brought to us by Bombas today?
How did you know? He's handsome and he's fucking, he can see the future. That's why I love our boy Chapsy. How often do you think about your socks? If you're like I used to be, not much. But I recently discovered socks that changed the way I'll think about socks forever. They're called Bombas. We love our boys at Bombas here. Bombas are the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. What do you like most about your Bombas, Chapsy?
I get compliments on my sock game a lot whenever I wear them, and I make sure that I wear them when I'm going to go places like on the plane, so I can cross my leg big time, pull up my pant leg a little bit, and just be like, oh, yeah, I'm wearing these bad boys.
Chaps doesn't retweet compliments, but he does appreciate them, and that's what you guys have to realize about him. The Bombas socks, I love them because, A, they're like the soft, comfortable kind of a sock, but they have, like, my Bombas, at least, they have, like, the hive design on them, like a beehive or whatever, and I don't know. I'm a sucker for that kind of design. That's what I love about them. They're made from premium cotton. Bombas stay warm in the winter and cool in the summer, which for us sad saps in New York, it's going to start getting colder soon. So Bombas, they play all seasons. They're like Birdman, flying any weather. And every pair comes with a built-in blister tab, innovative arch support, stay-up technology, and a seamless toe. With many colors, patterns, lengths, and styles, Bombas look great in the gym, at the office, and out on the town. Bombas are what feet daydream about. And for every Bombas purchase you make, Bombas donates a pair to someone in need, which I love. I think every fucking company should do that. Like, Tom's does it with the shoes, Bombas does it with the socks. Everyone should donate something to every blog we write, a homeless should get like a free laugh out of it or something like that. I don't know how that works. Keep cool, keep comfortable, and keep contributing to the best with the best socks in the history of feet. Bombas. So listen, buy one pair or four at bombas.com/podfathers today and get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/podfathers for 20% off. bombas.com/podfathers. And Chaps, give me another little Birdman. A dude on the Texans does the little, he's the bird, and he did the Birdman the other day. Took me right back to fucking 2004, man. It was beautiful.
I love the Birdman. Don't love the Texans, though.
That's shit. This is gonna be a problem. If I have to stop mentioning AFC South people, we're getting towards football season. So yes, like Chapsy said, we have the KFC, the Podfathers mailbag, kfcradio.com/askdad for anyone who wants to ask us questions, maybe share a story. We have the Mayday line as well for anyone who wants to, you know, just vent when shit's going poor. 347-746-8637. So we have the mailbag here, and our first question is from Grant. My wife is 8 months pregnant, and our baby has been kicking her pretty good in the ribs. When this happens, her words change from our son to your son. Is this how it's going to be forever when he does something stupid / bad? Chaps, would you like to give a one-word answer to this guy?
Yes. Next question.
Yep. It's not getting any better, dude. Grin and Barrett, she, especially when she's pregnant, especially after the kid's born and she's still hormonal. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And a ma'am to at the end of every sentence as well. That's just how it goes.
You just got to threaten the baby in the womb with a spanking. That's it.
Jill. We got a mama calling or writing in, wondering your position versus your wife's position in organic foods and snacks. Do you follow the top fruit / vegetable recommendation guidelines, grass-fed meats and snacks, Andy's cheddar bunnies versus goldfish? And she also says that basically fuck Caillou. And I know you hate Caillou, Chapsy, so fuck Caillou.
Yeah, I do. Shout out Jill. Fucking Caillou. Luckily for me, I utilize Blue Apron, and you can use the Blue Apron too. But for real, yeah, I think that it just depends. Like I think that depending on where you get your meat, that is important. Like you can't just go out and buy like the, not to throw our boy Frank the Tank under the bus, but if you're eating too many milk steaks a week, probably not the best thing. But organic. I mean, I think scientifically it's been proven that it's a bunch of horse shit anyways.
Really?
Like, by and large, it's a bunch of horse shit. But if you can be healthier for your kids. But if I had any advice about food to people who are like me, who have a kid who struggles with eating, them eating the most healthy shit in the world is not as important as you being able to keep your cool, keep your calm, keep your collectivity together whenever you're dealing with them. Because there's days that, sure, we basically force feed McCartney some healthy stuff, but I'm mad. My wife is mad. McCartney's upset. Kelsey's upset. And it basically ruins the entire night. I think that there's going to be phases in their lives where they can eat unhealthy shit and they're going to be fine because they're little. Mm-hmm. I mean, as long as they get something decent throughout the day, like fruits, like McCartney will eat fruit. So we try to give her as much fruit for a snack as she wants. But then in dinner, find healthier ways to do it. Put a can of like baby food mixed in with the macaroni. Try some of that shit. But don't be overly concerned about being super healthy food eater.
Yeah, it's true. Like sometimes Sienna will house down a bunch of like, you know, healthy food, and then she won't touch pizza, which she loves. It's just babies or kids in general. They're so like, not just, they're not really picky or particular, but they're mood swings. You know, there's just, if they, like, we buckled her in for the first time in like months and she ate everything on her plate, where sometimes you don't buckle her and then she just walks around the kitchen in her own little world. So you really can't get it. I will say we'll go like organic. Like banana, we'll get a couple things like bananas organically, a couple other things. And then I'll never forget it. My wife said, because Sienna, when she was young, you know, you drink a lot of milk. And I said to my wife, I go, listen, they don't have organic, you know, the no hormones added milk. Should I get her? And she goes, if you want her to grow boobs like tomorrow, get the regular milk. And I was like, organic it is. So that's kind of scared me straight. But I think like I will say, like, I obviously care more about what's going in my kid's body than what I put in my body. I'm closer to the Frank the Tank side of the scale with the shit that I eat. But like, just like, try to have your kid eat as clean as you can, but also realize there's gonna be times where they don't like the taste of the organic shit, but they just want to eat like a whole bag of goldfish. Just let them have the goldfish, because you know,
and
what?
Just remember, they're gonna eat when they're fucking hungry.
Yeah,
like if they're sitting there and not want to eat, this has been a thing that we've adapted in the last like month. That if McCartney is not hungry and she keeps saying, I'm not hungry, get your little ass down then. Let's go take a bath. Like, I'm not going to force her for 45 minutes to be sitting there at the dinner table. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Because she's not going to do it anyway, especially when she's as stubborn as a kid like mine. She's not going to fucking do it. If she doesn't want to do it, I would basically have to, like, prison her, like, put her in a straitjacket, hold her down, and, like, shove it through a syringe, like, down her throat. And that's just not healthy for anybody.
Yeah,
like, everybody's upset.
Like I mentioned last week with the spinach, and she just had to eat like half of a bite of spinach, and Sienna became so pissed, basically. I just put her in her room and closed the door, and she's made a sound I've never heard before. She was so like angry and upset, and it like ruined everyone's night. Me, my wife, Sienna's, everyone was fucked. And it was like, you know what? Like, that's just not the way to go. Like, you have to give a little with them too. Sometimes you need to put your foot down, but you also have to realize when not to put your foot down, and when you did put your foot down, that you shouldn't have done it that time, and learn from your mistakes.
Right. And it becomes a thing about winning, like we talked about a little bit last week, where you just want to win. Like,
yeah.
it's not the fact that you think that half a leaf of spinach is going to give her some super vitamins, like, because it's not. Like, it's not really effectual at all when it's that amount. You just want to win. You want your kid to listen. And I think sometimes we have to realize that them listening shouldn't be the ultimate objective. It should be getting through with happiness and calmness and shit like that. Because ultimately, is listening the best trait that you can have and you can instill in somebody? Probably not. The side that we have as parents is, we want our kids to listen, but then whenever they grow up, we want them to be free, independent thinkers and do things on their own. But we train them the entire time that they're kids to be just a good listener. That's like the main skill that they should have. Be a good listener. And then when you're 18, flip the switch and become an independent thinker.
Yeah,
doesn't really work that way.
Then you have to also teach them to say, no, bitch. I ain't going to do that shit right now.
Fuck you, Aunt Giovanni, you little fucking cunt.
Shout out, Aunt Giovanni.
Seriously, fuck. And Giovanni been picking McCartney up, dude, and she hates that shit.
Picking her up, lifting off the ground?
Yeah, because she's in like the 5th percentile, man. She's a tiny little bugger. She's like a little maggot walking around. So,
and is he like a giant, or is he just, you know, 50th percentile?
Who's able? He's just a normal sized kid. I mean, McCartney legit looks like she's 3. Like she's tiny as hell. But her mom is. I mean, her mom is like 5'2". Like, I can't say her weight, but she's not weighing over like 103 pounds. Mm-hmm. So, she's tiny, and McCartney's always going to be tiny. But McCartney has a big, big personality, and she hates being picked up and treated like she's small. And Giovanni, that motherfucker, does it all the time. I want to just be like, if Aunt Giovanni does it, this is what you need to do, McCartney. If Aunt Giovanni picks you up, I want you to walk him over to the dinosaur section, pick out a huge T-Rex. Walk T-Rex over to the block section. Make sure you grab a wet wipe. Shine that T-Rex up real nice. Turn that motherfucker sideways and shove it straight up his candy ass. If you smell what McCartney is cooking.
McCartney does have some rock traits to her, that's for sure. She definitely has the gift of gab. Maybe throw a Brahma Bull, the old Brahma Bull tattoo, not this bullshit new one he put on, which ruined all our childhoods. That old Brahma Bull. Like, McCartney is a Brahma Bull when it comes down to it. Push comes to shove.
Yeah, because I wanted to just look at him and be like, hey, Angie Bunny, you want to pick me up? Well, I would like, it doesn't matter what you want. Don't pick me up, bitch.
I always come back to this, and I don't like saying it, but I have to almost give Andrew Avani credit for having the gall the credit is staying in my hands. I'm not giving him a goddamn thing. It's right here. It's DCC Champs. It's right here. But that motherfucker, I mean, he at least has gumption. I'll give him that much. That's the least I could give him. He has gumption, that fucking little bastard. We got one stick it up your candy ass out of the way. That's perfect. No better way to put that into the podcast. Ben writes in, my oldest son is 4 and is potty trained. Shout out, Ben's son. We do activities at the public pool all summer, and when he has to go to the bathroom, I have to talk him out of the water and into the disgusting bathroom because he doesn't know the unwritten rule of public pools. How do I explain to a 4-year-old about peeing in the pool when I know that the first time he does it, he's going to yell out to me in front of everyone else, Daddy, I just peed in the pool? So this comes back to one of those other things where it's like,
I am fucking distraught.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, this is one of those things where you have to teach your kids one thing, but then also, like, you have to teach them to pee in the pool, but not tell people you're peeing in the pool, right? Because, like, do as I say, not as I do. We all pee in the pool. I might be peeing right now for all you know on air, and I'm not even in a pool.
And I don't even care, dude. Like, whatever, let it rip.
Bathing suit rule.
I think we have such stupid expectations for children. I don't want to get out of the pool to take my dumbass daughter into the bathroom, pull down her little one-piece bathing suit, put that on the floor where all the other kids are pissing and rubbing it in with their foot. I don't want that shit. And you don't want it. Just let it fly. Like, my wife does get mad at me because McCartney would be like, Daddy, I got to pee. I'm like, just let it go, girl. Like, yeah. Just go over there by the little shallow end and just let it fly. Because it doesn't make a difference. There's chlorine in the pool. Pee is sterile. Now, I tell her, I'm like, you can't poop in the pool because they'll close this motherfucker down in a heartbeat if somebody shits. But if you got to pee, dude, I bring mad beers into the pool when I go. I have a little floating cooler that I'll bring like a 6-pack out. I drink the whole 6-pack out, and I never get out of the pool. You do the math.
Yeah, exactly. The water level goes up an inch if you like really take a look at it. When Chapsy's in the pool, he doesn't get out. The water level goes up, and that's all that happens.
I'm a big time. I should make more sun shirts for Barstool. That just has like pool pisser as like the two words on it.
It is seriously one of those things that like, and if you take your kid out, like, oh, what, there's not going to be pee in that pool? That pool's already filled with enough adult piss, let alone kid piss, you know, and the chlorine's doing its job. It's the reason we swim in fucking chlorine pools. We're not
if
swimming.
If you're at a public
water.
Pool, it's to be expected.
Yeah.
Like, if you think there's no pee in a public pool, you're outside of your damn mind.
If somebody gave me like a sample of public pool and I had one of those little, I don't know if they're even real, the chemicals, and I put it in and it didn't turn purple, I'd be like, this isn't water from a public pool. This is a lie. You lied to me, sir.
And you're a pool guy. Your family has a pool
business.
I'm a
pool guy. I'm in the, that piss keeps my food, pissing in the pool is what puts food on my table for my whole, you know, growing up.
Exactly. So if you want Clem's family to be, survive and be financially stable, you take your dick out and you piss right in the deep end.
Shout out Ben for that email. I was hoping this is where we were going to get to. But yeah, I mean, you could, I'm going to say you could tell them for when they're growing up, like just say, listen, no pooping in the pool. That's the rule. If you have to go to the bathroom, it's no pooping in the pool.
It's kind of like picking your nose. Everybody knows you do it. Just don't tell everybody about it.
100%. Nick writes in, I was listening to the latest episode. Oh, it's another bathroom question.
Shocker.
Bringing your kids to the bathroom popped up. I'm a father of 4 girls. They're 10, 8, 4, and 2. Yes, I know I am fucked. Yes, you are. For the most part, I lucked out because, you know, his wife brings the girls to the patio, all that stuff. He's at an amusement park, and he had a friend who loves to play his 10-year-old had a friend who likes to play mommy and offered to take his younger kids, who are 4 and 2, to the bathroom. He said, okay. Long story short, they go. He doesn't realize the park, it's all porta potties. He goes into the porta potty. One of them is sitting on the porta potty seat. The other one is literally sitting in the urinal. What do you do when that happens to you? I mean, he said there's no amount of hand sanitizer that will take care of this. First of all, he also says, luckily my wife is cool, and after the 4 kids see the humor and didn't give me too much shit. Do you feel like this is like one of those things she's going to take out on him when he, you know, fucks up down the road? Like, will you also let the kids go swimming in the urinal?
So it was a friend that did it?
So this is what happened. So I fucked up with the reading. So 10-year-old kid had a friend, probably say a 10-year-old friend, right? She wanted to take the kids to the bathroom at the park. 4 and 2-year-old kids, so they don't know what the fuck they're doing, right? Goes to the porta potty. One of them, he opens the porta potty because it was taking long. His 4-year-old is like sitting on the toilet seat of the porta potty, which is like death, no fucking go. the third circle of death of hell. Then we had the 2-year-old sitting in the urinal, which is just fucking rotten. The possible horror stories running through my mind, I decided I should probably assist. It's too late. It's fucking...
As much as the toddlers and shit put their hands in their mouth right away.
Yeah. Oh,
like, God. Oh my God, dude.
I don't know.
I feel the dad's fucked there because you got to have, you know where you are, you know where your surroundings, and you got to know the state of cleanliness for the bathroom that you allow your children to go to. So say you're in Target. I'm a big Target pisser pooper guy. If you're in Target, you let it fly. Sure, the 10-year-old could probably take... Actually, no. You don't let somebody else's 10-year-old take your kids to the bathroom in public. Like, period. Because you don't know what can happen anywhere. I don't think that you should be letting your kids go to the bathroom with other children.
That was my point here. Don't let your kids go anywhere unattended with you in public when, like, a 10-year-old is the one person that can watch them just because you don't know what kind of fucking weirdos are out there. Best case scenario, they're covered in fucking Ebola and bubonic plague in a porta potty, which is, like, the worst case scenario in almost anything else in life. Shout out to...
I struggle with McCartney in a porta potty, and she's 4. Like, we went to a dog park the other week. McCartney had to go to the bathroom, so I take her in there. The porta potty looked like a war zone of piss and shit, like everywhere. But she still has to go. And it's not like she is going to be like, oh, yeah, sure, I can hold it for another hour before we leave. Like, she's 4. She's got to go. So I have her, like, legs in my hand like she's a young bull that I just caught in the radio. And I'm, like, holding her by the back of her neck, like, dipping her in like I'm one of those Greek baptizer guys, like, holding her above the baptism. And she's letting it go. And I had a hard time figuring out, and I've been a dad for 12 years. This 10-year-old hasn't even been alive that long, so she has no fucking clue what to do.
Yeah,
so that's why the kid ends up ass deep in the urinal.
That's on you. That's on you, Ben. Or Nick. That's on you, Nick. I don't know what to tell you other than that.
Fucking Nick, man.
I will say this much, though. The bathrooms at Home Depot are surprisingly nice. They want you to feel like you go in there, you go, oh, maybe I'll redo my bathroom and I'll start buying shit at Home Depot. And that was something I did not expect. Usually you could tell how good a place's bathroom will be by their carts. Like Target, the carts are beautiful there, right? They got the nice plastic, they're plush, they're big. Home Depot's carts aren't as nice, but it is a surprisingly nice bathroom. So if you're going to go
Lowe's is good too. Shout out to Lowe's.
Yeah, I don't have as many Lowe's near me, but I would imagine they're pretty good. They go tit for tat for...
Now, you want to talk about good toilets. Let's talk about Whole Foods.
See, that's the thing, Chapsy. I brought these... I'm not going to lie. These bathroom questions, I brought them because I knew you were going to be, you know, bringing the thunder today. So this is your zone. So Whole Foods, I guess that makes sense. Whole Foods has all the fucking fancy boys. You're a fancy boy yourself.
You want me to give you my top 5 places to go to the bathroom?
I love it.
Number 1, Target. Already mentioned it. Number 2, HEB, the grocery store chain in Texas. Always have good bathrooms. Always. Number 3, church. I love going to the bathroom at church.
Yeah. Church is good, even though it's usually old as shit, no matter where you are. It's like
going to be clean, though.
It feels like there's not a lot of traffic going on in those bathrooms.
Nobody's leaving toilet paper on the floor at church because you feel like it's a little disrespectful. Shout out to Jesus again. You feel like it's disrespectful to him to be leaving.
Man died for your sins. Seat. You don't put toilet paper in his house.
The least you could do is wipe your piss off the top of the toilet seat.
Well, yeah, will you use toilet paper to wipe your piss, or will you still go feet in at church?
I'll go toilet paper.
You go toilet paper. Because
it's somebody else's piss, and that's kind of dirty.
Yeah.
Number four. Hotels. So if you really have to go and you're driving, my recommendation is find an exit that has like a hotel, a Holiday Inn. Go into the park that has like the little awning over it.
Yep.
And park your car there. You don't even have to park. You're like, yeah, hold on just a second. Where's your restroom at? I just got off of a long trip. You go to the restroom, then you just walk back out like you're going to get something and you take off. They're none the wiser, man.
None
like
the
it's going to be clean because it's a hotel. They got cleaning staff there 24/7, so it's always going to be clean. Number five is the emergency room.
That is a wild. I was all in for this, Japsy. You had me going. You fucking lulled me into a place of fucking safety and security, and then you throw the emergency room, which we've already discussed is a fucking freak factory, and you throw the emergency room.
It's a freak factory, but it still has hospital levels of sanitation. And if something goes drastically wrong, you have the little red cord that you can rip. Like, there's going to be somebody who can help you.
As a man that has your, you know, history with having to go to the bathroom at a minute's notice, this actually does. Yeah, a full decade now. This is actually helpful for kids because, you know, we have this now with Sienna now that she's not wearing diapers. We've had to do potty stops like 5 times in 20-minute trips because she'll just tell you and you don't want to have an accident on your watch. And we're just hitting Dunkin' Donuts, which is because then it's like, oh, let's treat ourselves. Let's help her. And then next thing you know, you know what I mean? We're not eating clean anymore.
Dunkin's not doing the Summer of Dunkin' anymore, so this is kind of a free ad. Is there anything like whenever somebody has, you know, a little box of munchkins that you can get? You know?
Yeah.
Like the little the donut holes. I don't know what you guys call them.
Donut holes,
munchkins?
No, munchkins. Either or, yeah.
Okay, so you have the little donut holes. You're going through, you see like a chocolate glazed one, a regular glazed one, and then you see a powder one. I had forgotten that the powdered jelly existed in the donut hole. That fucker will change your life, dude. That's a good damn donut, man.
When you bite into a donut and there's jelly inside that you weren't expecting, it's the closest feeling to seeing your baby
born.
But
it's got to be little. Because if it's the big one and you take a big bite and you just think it's a powdered donut, the glob of jelly can be kind of overwhelming.
Then you get the Mr.
But
Crab
the munchkin.
Bean.
Yeah, the munchkin, though. Fuck.
And the munchkin is perfect for the kids because then if you just need to get them a couple little things, they can just eat them. They don't have to worry about a big old donut they're chowing into. We went down a big munchkin path with Sienna for a while there. And now when she knows what she's doing now. She says she has to go potty when she knows there's a Double D's coming up. And I don't blame her. The thing is, none of us in the car is going to say no to a stop at Dunkin' Donuts at that moment. Whether you need coffee, you need shout out Dunkin' Energy Punch. If you need a bunch of munchkins with some, you know, a jelly or two. And I always mix it up. Do you mix it up? I go sometimes some chocolate. I'll go with some jellies, maybe a glazed or two just to, you know, change things up a little more.
Now, it depends. This is what I wanted to talk to you about on the donut scene because you're a donut guy. You're a snack guy. You're the snack god. So for me, when it comes down to a glazed donut, I don't want it to look glazed. I want it to look have like a matte appearance because I feel like once it becomes a shiny look, that means that it's old. It's got to be matted because once it starts to get glossy, it means that the sugar has stayed there for a little bit too long and it's starting to break down. I like it when it has a really matte look. I like my donuts like I like my football helmets.
Yeah,
all matte, everything.
100% with you. It's glazed donut face. I mean, that's like a thing Mello calls people, you know what I mean? And it's the reason, because it doesn't look as prim and proper. But when you have that matte, it's like when you see the shows where they show how donuts are made and that glaze just goes on fresh. It's a thing. I'm going to go get a donut right after we're done here because that's how hungry I am right now. So I'm with you, Chapsy, 100%.
We got any more?
We got
questions? We'll do one
we
more.
Got one,
let's
more.
Do one more.
One more. Our last one here. Here we go. Mike, hey guys, just found out my wife is pregnant with our first kid, which is great. We're really happy about it, even though Kevin has been scaring the shit out of me the last few weeks. My question is, we have four weddings to go to between now and the end of October. So how do we / I handle the no drinking thing? We're still not ready to tell anyone my wife is pregnant because it's still super scary. And we also don't want to be the couple that steals the thunder from the bride with a pregnancy announcement. I think you've discussed this on the podcast, which I think we have, but I think it's something that we could use a little refresher. Also, what is the proper level of intoxication I'm allowed to achieve at these weddings without landing too much in the doghouse?
That's a tough one. I mean, when it comes to the pregnancy announcement, I wouldn't announce it at the wedding, but I think any time before. Your life doesn't go on hold because somebody has a wedding coming up.
Mm-hmm. Like, agreed.
That's not a thing. So I'm going to be happy about my life regardless about what's going on in the situation. Now, if somebody's like mom died or their kid died, I'm not going to be like, hey, I realize that your son passed away, but my wife's pregnant. So I feel like that would be a little inappropriate.
It's like, just so you know, we're bringing a new one into the world when years just left. Like, we're going to make sure that the human race is not going to exist.
Yeah, the plus minus situation is still going to be, we're all set there.
But net neutral right here.
I feel like you have to gauge your spouse reaction. You can't get blackout drunk no matter what.
Yeah.
Because she is going to be... You can get away with being blackout drunk as the spouse if your spouse is just a little bit tipsy, because then they think it's funny. If you are stone cold sober and your spouse is belligerent drunk, that is not a good recipe for a happy marriage.
Yeah, and we're going to go at the thought that everyone's wife or girlfriends on this podcast is at least a pretty fun person that doesn't, like, anytime you have, like, a drink, they're like, oh, I can't believe you're drinking right now. We're just going to say
no
that.
No sticks in the mud.
Yeah, no sticks in the mud allowed on this podcast. If you are, please pause. Please skip to the next
Pull
one.
Pull your stick out of the mud.
Yes, even better. Fix your stick. Kick it out of the mud.
Get that stick out of the mud.
How
be
did that stick
person.
Fall in the mud?
You don't have to be a fun person by drinking. We're not saying that. But we are saying, don't be a fucking idiot, man. Like, let people live their life and have a good time.
Agreed.
All right,
agreed.
That's the end of that rant. Go on. See what you're going to say, Clemmy.
But yeah, like you said, I think my wife actually likes when I drink because I'm just a lot more fun when I drink. I'll go on the dance floor. If I'm sober, I'm not really going on the dance floor. I think up to, like, say 10's a blackout, I think you're allowed yourself to a 7 to 7.5. But once you get to that 7.5, it's hard to stop. So I'd say 6.5 to 6. Try to stay in that range if possible. Your wife, if you make your pregnant wife watch your blackout ass and she has to worry about you and stop you from doing stupid shit, like, you're in the doghouse till literally that baby goes to college. Don't do that. Hard no. But I think tying one on, having some fun, and knowing you have a DD for the next 9 months, that's a beautiful thing. And this is what I do when my wife was pregnant in terms of getting her drinks. I'd say...
I'm going to get in trouble again for saying the DD thing.
No, my wife was cool with it. I don't know about other people. She was more than happy to be a DD. But this is what I said. When you're around mixed company, I remember when she was pregnant with Sienna, I'd say, tell me what you want. And I'll just, like, so she'll say, I want a vodka Sprite. That just meant she wanted a Sprite. You go to the bartender. You make sure no one else is around that you don't want to know that your wife is pregnant. You say, give me a Sprite, and make sure you add a garnish, a lemon or a lime in it with a straw, so then it looks like everything else out there. Because they usually don't put garnishes in just plain sodas and waters and stuff like that.
Right.
So the garnish is the really most important thing. And then if your wife has a drink that someone got her that is alcoholic, you just got to slug it down, and that's how you get to that 6.57.
I also think it's a good idea, and maybe we should do it, where if your wife is pregnant, that you have, like, a little paper bracelet, like, that you would get at, like, the fair to be able to ride as many rides as you want. And yeah, once she notices that you are getting close to the 6.57, she comes, takes your bracelet, and that means you're allowed one more drink.
I think we just solved...
Was that a good idea?
That was a great idea.
Because it's simple. She just comes up, takes your bracelet, you have one more drink, and then you're done. And it's not like you have to be done at that point. You get one more drink, so you're still happy that you get your one more drink, but you got to abide by it. She takes your paper bracelet, and you're done, sir, done.
And listen, this I'd love for someone to actually do this. I'd love for our listeners to do this. And listen, I hope both wife and husband listen to this. And husband, if you get that bracelet taken away and you keep going in for more drinks, I want your wife to rat on you.
Right. If she go past it, you knew it. You agreed on the terms. It's like a UN agreement. Like,
yeah,
you have a treaty. You are establishing a treaty of where you can go And once you break those sanctions, she's allowed to go nuclear on you.
And then Chaps and Clem aren't going to be happy with you either, because this is Chaps' brilliant idea, and there's only one potential flaw, and it's if the husbands are assholes and they don't listen to the terms of agreement here. So, shout out Chaps for coming up with a fucking great idea at the end of the episode.
Credit to me for that.
Shout out Chaps.
What's that? I thought about it when I was had kids on the way.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things where it's like you always think of the best Halloween costumes after, like the day after Halloween. You're like, oh, this would have been a great group costume. It's like
I don't have that problem. So let's move into let's move into some bedtime stories.
You want me to lead off, or you want to lead off?
I'll lead off. So there's this little bitch name. I don't want to say her name, but. No, fuck it. Her name is Brianna. So Brianna's in my daughter's class. And Brianna's kind of like the cool kid. I think McCartney's a cool kid too. But Brianna's like the leader of the pack a little bit. Like she likes to go out. Because she's new. Because, you know, like when you bring in a new kid who's also everybody who can tell they're kind of cool, they instantly become like the coolest kid in class.
Yep.
Well, Brianna pisses her pants during nap time, which I'm not a hater on somebody who pisses their pants at nap time because they're four, shit happens. The problem with it is because she's the new leader of the pack, the whole squad is starting to piss their pants.
Straight Billy Madison style, yeah. Pants and cool.
The whole squad. McCartney's been pissing her pants during nap time. She had to bring like pull-ups to school. She's been potty trained for like 2 years, so we don't know what the fuck is going on. But because McCartney's like kind of reverted back to some issues, she feels like a little bit embarrassed about it, which is different than her. So seeing like her normally hard shell, aggressive shell, be like, I'm sorry, daddy, I'm sorry. And like come up and like give me hugs. And she's yesterday I went to pick her up early because it was before nap time. I wanted to grab her to kind of like break that cycle a little bit and be like, see, you can do it all day. It's just you got to go potty before and stuff like that. When I walked into her daycare and she had just laid down on her mat, and when she saw my dumbass red bearded face, she like lit up like I've never seen before. She was like, oh my god, dad, and like flipped out. She's like, daddy boy, why are you here so early? And then I took her to go get some yogurt. I was like, see, we're not mad at you, we don't just don't want you to pee yourself. And she was like, thank you so much. And like it was a genuine nice moment between us, which is few and far between.
Nah, man. McCartney, when she brings that fucking, those emotions, man, I think it means a little extra there because it's such a fight.
It does. And I love the fact that she's fire. And she's sweet. I mean, whenever she's going to bed and when she first wakes up in the morning, she's sweet. But she what I describe her as on the show, that's who she is. She is a fire-breathing dragon a majority of the day. So whenever she leans down and I could be Jon Snow and pet her on the nose, it's a nice little moment.
My bedtime story has to do with, this is like the potty episode. I think Kevin leaves us alone and we just go to potty. I guess that's kind of our thing right there. Yeah. So I kind of like our brand. So Sienna, like we said, putting them on the potty, especially when they think they have to go potty and they don't, it just drives you crazy. Like you're doing shit and they're not, you know, always doing stuff. You have to take a minute and just kind of sit there. And the new thing is we've been asking, are you going to go poo-poo or pee-pee? And she'll always say, I'm going to go pee-pee first and then I'm going to go poo-poo first. And she just doesn't understand like how first the word first works. And it makes you laugh every single time. And like, even when I don't even care what she has to do, I just ask her and then she just says it. And then it just warms your heart every single time. And it kind of, it's those things that get you through like the 800 potty breaks you got to do. And you're stopping a car ride 10 times just so they don't piss their pants. So that's just one of those things that melts your heart.
It's the little moments of dumbness that you absolutely love.
100%. That makes it all worth it.
Look at you. Look how young you are. You're stupid as hell. You don't even know what first means. You're so dummy. Cute. And it's like a puppy, man. Like that, they are like puppies. They're like little puppies.
They're like little puppies, and they're gonna fuck up. You're gonna fuck up. Everyone's gonna fuck up. But in the end, somehow, some way, I mean, we made it this far, right? So I guess they find the way.
Let us know how the bracelets go, everybody. We seriously want you to do that because I think it's a legit good idea.
I think it's a great idea, and like. Like wearing a bracelet is always fun. Like I used to always, I love having them on the next day after a bar. You're just like, oh, that was a good night right there, you know? So And again, if wives, if girlfriends, whatever, significant others, if they fucking go against the code, you let us know as well. We do not. If you're not a stick in the mud, that's how you turn your wife into a muddy stick.
Oh, there's going to be loopholes. I just thought loopholes. You can't go get anything more than a double vodka on your last drink. Don't be trying to go get some quadruple Long Island iced tea either. Don't try to get around. You have to be a normal person.
Don't get into that 7.58 territory, because that's when the blood starts getting brown to black, and that's when you're going to, again, if you want to go in the doghouse, me and Chaps can't visit if you're in the doghouse.
Yep. We might have to need to put listeners in the doghouse too. So if your partner needs to go in the doghouse, let us know why. We'll stuff people in the doghouse in a heartbeat.
I love it.
And that's the show, guys. Thanks for listening to the Podfathers. We'll catch you next week.